Reading this morning from Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text number 12. This is a very, very wonderful chapter. Verse by verse, it's very wonderful. So, Akama sarvakama va moksha kama udhara diti vrena bhakti yogena vijayta purusham param. Summarizing and dismissing other forms of worship and just take the devotional service, then yesterday evening's verse, etavan eva yajatam iha nikshaya sodayaha bhagavati acholo bhavo yad bhagavata sangataha. The highest perfectional attainment, this unalloyed devotional service, becomes possible by Bhagavata Sangataha. We heard this verse yesterday as a refrain or theme-like construction of verse where devotional service is outstanding and is the culmination, pure devotional service, is the culmination of all other auspicious processes, and falling short of that, in Prabhupada's language, is but different phases of phantasmagoria. So where do you go from there? In text 12, this morning's verse, he's going to speak about knowledge in relation to the personality of Godhead. There's two phrases in the verse, Jnanam Bhakti Yogaha and Karikata. So Harikatamritam is a phrase that was used at the end of chapter 2. Harikatamrita, the amrita of Harikata. This is what persons are supposed to hear at the time of death, or just people in general. Now he's going to take that same phrase, Harikata, and explain or expand further on what happens when you hear Harikata in Bhagavata Sangataha, in the association of a pure devotee of the Lord. Very poetic, very beautiful. I'll go through the verse, the terms or words within the verse. Jnanam Yad Aprati Nivritta Gunormi Chakram Guna Urmi, common female name, and coming derived from the Sanskrit languages Urmila. Guna Urmi. Urmi means waves. Guna Urmi. The waves of the material modes subside, more than subside, complete suspension. Prati Nivritta. Like Patiksha. Patikshanasva Dhanalokasya. But a fraction. There's almost eliminated. Prati Nivritta guna urmi chakram. Chakram is chakra, the circle. So this is, in this case, it's a whirlpool. The waves and whirlpools of the material nature is up to the limit of complete eradication. This transcendental knowledge of devotional service. So that's a pretty good advertisement. It's a good product. One should get some. Gyanam yad a pratinivritta gurnormi chakram. Then, atma prasada, complete self-satisfaction. Uta yatra ganeshva asangaha, where there's no sangha, there's no association or attachment to the modes of material nature. So it not only subsides the waves and the whirlpools of material nature, but one who's brought transcendentally beyond it, or outside of it, or no longer in the association or attachment to it. Kaivalya samata pantas tu ata bhakti yogataha. So, in the purport, Prabhupada puts a lot of emphasis, following Jiva Goswami, on Kaivalya Panta. You'll hear more about that, but it's the path, Panta, that's samatha, completely approved by the transcendentalists or great authorities. So, or in other words, the Hari Katha, that hearing and vibrating the messages of devotional service, that Hari Katha is fully transcendental and is approved by all transcendental authorities. Ko nivrito harikatasu ritim nakuryat, who would not be attracted, who would fail to be attracted to this? So you know who will be fail to be attracted, persons who are too much attached. But if they were to understand what it is, how could they fail to be attracted? So, again, jnanam is referring to knowledge about this bhakti yoga. So, jnanam yad a pratinivritta gunormi chakram, transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord Hari, is knowledge resulting in the complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the material modes. Atma prasada, such knowledge is self-satisfying. Uta yatra guneshva asangaha, due to its being free from material attachment, and being transcendental, it is approved by all authorities. Kaivalya samata patas twarta bhakti yoga, then who would fail to be attracted? Ko nivrito hadikatasa ratim Nakuryat. In the purport, Prabhupada begins by making reference to Bhagavad Gita 10.9. Bhagavad Gita 10.9 is one of the Chatur Sloki verses of Bhagavad Gita. Start with 10.8. This is 10.9. 10.9 Bhagavad Gita is? Bodhayanta parasparam katayantas chamam nityam tushanticha namanticha. So here's how he paraphrases. According to Bhagavad Gita 10.9, the characteristics of pure devotees are wonderful. Because the verse is describing the characteristics of pure devotional service, now these pure devotees have wonderful characteristics. The complete functional activities of a pure devotee are always engaged in the service of the Lord, and thus the pure devotees exchange feelings of ecstasy between themselves and relish transcendental bliss. Machitta, minds fully absorbed in Krishna, fully engaged in thinking of Him. Madgata prana, their lives are devoted to Krishna. Machitta, madgata prana, bodhaya, bodhayantak, they're enlightening one another. Or, as preaching Krishna consciousness, parasparam, amongst people in general. Katayantas chamam nityam. So this is, he's amplifying the Harikatha. This is what pure devotees do, Harikatha. Katayantas chamam nityam. And tushanticha, ramanticha. In that, in the association of one another, they are exchanging feelings of ecstasy between themselves and relishing transcendental bliss. This transcendental bliss is experienced even in the stage of devotional practice, like we're doing sadhana, avastha, if properly undertaken under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. So he's, Prabhupada here is saying, as Rupa Goswami says, even in sadhana bhakti, if properly directed, it connects one with Krishna, because devotional service is transcendental. Even in the preliminary stages of sadhana, devotional service is transcendental. Our consciousness may not be so transcendental, but devotional service is transcendental because Krishna accepts it. It's all being offered to Krishna under the direction of a spiritual master. It's transcendental, and it acts. It acts in such a way that the unlimited happiness in the mature stage can be experienced even preliminarily. And that happiness, even the preliminary stage, so far surpasses mature happiness. What is mature happiness? It's flickering sense gratification that ends up in suffering. And everybody knows it. Just the experience subjectively of material happiness has no comparison. I mean, it cannot be compared to the spiritual happiness, even in the sadhana stage. And in the mature stage, the developed transcendental feeling culminates in realization of the particular relationship with the Lord by which a living entity is originally constituted. So that is, the stage of bhava precedes the stage of prema. In the stage of prema, one's constitutional position is understood. In the stage of bhava, I should say more specifically, one's eternal relationship with the Lord. So one, there's two stages. My eternal relationship is to serve Krishna, but then in service to Krishna, in different rasas. The rasas are not relished until the prema stage is there, and the prema, until the bhava stage precedes the prema stage. That's what he's saying. And for those, the bhava stage to be reached, one has to pass through the sadhana stage. So those are the topics of nectar devotion. Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. Three divisions. Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. And in the sadhana bhakti stage, one can experience the preliminaries of that ecstasy, then the full ecstasy, and then one's particular rasa with Krishna, just by practicing. Thus, bhakti yoga, being the only means of God realization, is called kaivalya. So he spends a substantial amount of time discussing what is kaivalya. Kaivalya is a word that impersonalists like also, as in Kevala Advaita, the term that describes Shankaracharya's teachings. Kevala Advaita means absolute monism, but we're interested in Kevala Bhakti, absolute devotion. Nothing else. Squeaky clean. Just bhakti. No jnana or karma. Just bhakti. Kevala bhakti. So, bhakti yoga means kevala bhakti. Or, bhakti yoga means uttam bhakti. Bhakti yoga means without a mixture of anything else. So, to reach that stage, one has to understand that's the goal and strive for that goal, and strive for that goal under the association of qualified persons. Then, Bhagavata Sangaha leads to Guneshu Asangaha, free from the contamination or attachment to the modes of nature. Then he refers to Jiva Goswami, who has said from the Vedic version, Eko Narayano Devaha Paravaranam Paramaaste Kaivalya Sangyataha. There's Kaivalya once again. So Jiva Goswami is commenting on this verse, taking this word kaivalya samatapanta, kaivalya specifically, and goes to the Vedic version and finds this kaivalya term also in the Vedic text, which establishes that Narayan, the personality of Godhead, is known as kaivalya. And the means which enables one to approach the Lord is kaivalya panta. Meaning, the Supreme Lord is absolute, untainted by anything material, and the process of bhakti that connects one to the absolute is also absolute. It's as kaivalya as Krishna is. It's as pure as Krishna is. untainted. Kaivalya Panta is the only means to reach Kaivalya. This Kaivalya Panta begins from Shravana, or hearing those topics related to the Personality of Godhead. And the natural sequence of hearing such Harikatha is attainment of transcendental knowledge, which is what this verse is speaking about. Gyanam yad aprati nivritti gunormi chakram, etc. Atma prasada utta yatra ganeshu asangaha. Knowledge and detachment which causelessly arise from devotional service. What's the verse? Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janayati Asha Vairagyam Jnanam Chayata Haitukam. That knowledge which arises causelessly from devotional service is the fruit of Harikatha. Yes? It's not that when we're hearing Harikatha, it's like it fits the paradigm of academic life, where there's something out there, and the challenge is to import that something out there into one of somewhere on your hard drive, and then you can play it back. And in different ways, and then get nice grades in your courses. It's something that's already there. Transcendental knowledge is already within. Svatak Siddha Jnana is a phrase that Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses. Just like faith is already within us, love for Krishna is already within us, knowledge is already within us, within the soul, and that hearing of Harikatha awakens that faith, awakens that knowledge. So Kaivalya Panta begins from Shravana, or hearing those topics that relate to the Personality of Godhead. That's hearing Harikatha, Shravana Harikatha, hearing Harikatha. And the natural consequence of hearing such Harikatha is attainment of transcendental knowledge. So the position of a devotee having attained transcendental knowledge is not an academic affair. It's just a product of spiritual maturity. As the creeper of bhakti grows, the flowers and fruits of transcendental knowledge just become decorations of that, of the soul, of that person. Which means it's not lost after the body's finished. Or as bodily changes, just like if children learn, they retain that asset. And what to speak of in their adult life, beyond this life. Because it's not temporal, it's not caused circumstantially. And so when the circumstances change, it's not lost. Not created or lost. Ahoitukiya pratiyata. And that attainment of transcendental knowledge causes detachment from all mundane topics. Jnanam jaya dahaitakam, the vairagya and jnana, they're both generated out of devotional service. So they have detachment from all mundane topics for which the devotee has no taste at all. And when there's no taste at all for mundane topics, this prati nivritti gunormi, the waves and the whirlpools of attraction and repulsion, they subside. And completely dismissed. This state of affairs is described herein as pratinivritta gunormi, and is possible by atma prasad, or complete self-satisfaction without any material connection. We can be in this world where the waves and the whirlpools of material action is going on. Prabhupada speaking of the detachment of the devotee is, the devotee becomes attached from the body, so what to speak of bodily relations, and then the upheavals of social, political, economic, worldly stuff that is due to people heavily investing in the bodily conception of life, it doesn't touch the devotee. It may be going on around you, but like the lotus that's growing out of the surface of the water, above the surface of the water, the surface of the water may be disturbed by some storm, but this lotus is above that stormy waves of the water. There are different modes of material nature and all mundane functions in which a common man is very much interested, or in which he takes part, becomes unattractive for the devotee. So in the beginning we may be encouraged to not unnecessarily or not too much take part in mundane things, but, or stay away from mundane things. But in the mature stage, one has no attraction for mundane things, just unappealing. The first-class devotee of the Lord attains this stage by devotional service. But despite his loftiness for the Lord's satisfaction, he may play the voluntary part of a preacher of the Lord's glory and dovetail all into devotional service, even mundane interest, just to give the neophytes a chance to transform their mundane interest into transcendental bliss. Srila Rupa Goswami has described this action of a pure devotee as nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya mujjate, concluding statement, even mundane activities dovetail with the service to the Lord are also calculated to be transcendental or approved kaivalya affairs. Really amazing purport Prabhupada has presented. I mean, it's like message of Krishna consciousness in one purport. And very eloquently spoken, very strongly supported by scripture. We're so fortunate to have Prabhupada's purports, have Prabhupada's association in this way. This verse, it's true that this verse very closely parallels 10.9 Bhagavad Gita. In the Chhatra Sloki verses, the first two, 10.8 and 10.9, are describing the position of the devotee. 10.9 specifically, what does the devotee do? And what does the devotee experience? This verse in the Bhagavatam is doing the same. What does the devotee do? He hears Harikatha. And what does he experience? Knowledge and detachment. But expanding on that knowledge, it's such that it brings about complete detachment from the waves, guna urmi, and the whirlpools, chakram, of material nature. And the natural happiness of the soul, Atma Prasad, becomes illumined. Just like in a summary way, how Rupa Goswami has described this in chapter 1 of Nectar of Devotion, is there are 6 characteristics of pure devotional service. You're studying Nectar of Devotion. So what are the first two of those 6 characteristics of pure devotional service?
Tilakam miti, like renounce all that and all those people.
I didn't follow. Say it again.
All auspicious.
The beginning of all auspiciousness. Yes. Shubha da. So the auspiciousness, this Atma Prasad, the natural happiness of the soul, awakens. And? Keep going.
Immediately extinguishes the difficult
thing. Eliminates which?
It immediately extinguishes the suffering.
Yeah, that's right. It kleshagni. It eradicates all sufferings, which is what's being said in this verse, isn't it? And those two from Nectar Devotion correspond to Sadhana Bhakti. And so Prabhupada makes this reference that this transcendental bliss is experienced even in the stage of devotional practice, sadhana avastha, if properly undertaken under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. And then it continues, that same kleshagni and shubhada, it increases and increases and increases, and the increase is ecstasy, and being that ecstasy carries one into understanding one's eternal rasa with Krishna. Big wave of ecstasy. So we're just at the beginning, but that's where we are. So let us begin, and we should know what lies down the road as we continue on the path of devotional service. So the map is here. So, thus, Bhakti Yoga. This is the message of the Bhagavatam. Bhakti Yoga is Kaivalya. The Lord is Kaivalya, but the process of reaching Him is also Kaivalya, Kaivalya Pantha. And it's approved by all transcendental authorities. Kaivalya, Samatha, Pantha, to reach Narayan by the process of hearing and chanting. So it's nice. Hearing and chanting awakens knowledge, detachment also. And that transcendental knowledge frees us from the attraction for mundane topics. So, detachment. Pratinivritta gunormi and Atma Prasad. Nice verse. So one more time, the Sanskrit. Jnanam yad apratinivritta gunormi chakram Atma Prasada uta yatra guneshva asangaha kaivalya samata pantas Tvata bhakti yogaha ko nivrito harikatasu ratim nakuriyat. Who will not be attracted? It's clear, Shukadeva Goswami he's in ecstasy. Just talking about this. You know, he's already answered the question. He's still answering the question. It's so relishable. And he's explaining in such ecstatic language. Any discussion? Yes.
You're explaining how the process of devotion is so wonderful, and how yesterday about the Sangata, the story. So what makes people in general to accept this? This is so very nice and satisfying.
What makes it?
Why is it?
Why doesn't everybody doing it? Ashradadana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartani. Know the meaning? Because of faithlessness. And there's so many causes of faithlessness, varieties of faithlessness. One just doesn't know, or one knows but is attached. One has doubt. One has been hurt by being cheated by some other process, so who knows, can I trust this? Selfishness, with, you know, this calculating mentality, am I going to get out of this what my expectation list is? So there's different varieties due to different causes of that faithlessness, but not investing full faith. That's one answer. Another answer is holding on, just simply holding on. It's another way of saying faithlessness, but simply holding on to baggage. Maintaining material attachments even after understanding so many instructions in this matter. Not having complete faith in the chanting of the holy name. Instead, maintaining material attachments. You know, we maintain our material attachments. They're superfluous to the soul, but we hold on to them. We invest importance in them. We don't want to let go. Krishna doesn't force our hand open. He's forever inviting. You should force our hand open. Nobody doesn't do that. It's voluntary. We've gotten in our situation voluntarily and we get out of it voluntarily, but he's forever inviting us. We're attached, faithless. We've invested our faith in materialism for countless lifetimes. We're very habituated to it. Prabhupada gives the example, you can pull a worm out of stool and move him away from stool and it'll go slithering back into stool. Why? That's his home, the stool pile. So conditioned. Indra became a hog. Brahma felt sorry, came to invite him back. No, I'm very happy with my piglets and pig pen. One becomes attached. We have strong faith in other things. That's something that Prabhupada said is one of the greatest obstacles in preaching Krishna consciousness in the modern world is the blind faith people have in science. Because it's brought so much comfort. What comfort? I see in America you have such nice highways and fast cars and people zooming around, but are they happy? They're going faster and faster. Have they found happiness? Is the value of life greater? But technology, science, it's given us so much. Anyway, people are attached to sense gratification and the bodily conception of life. So it's hard. Although it's so nice. The process is so nice. Very clearly. Anything else? Yeah?
Regarding benefiting from association.
Benefiting from association?
Of saintly person.
Yeah.
It seems that in the beginning there was a lot of respect and
in the beginning there's a lot of respect.
And advancement was clearly visible.
And then what?
Advancement was clearly visible.
What is advancement is clearly visible.
But as time progresses.
Time progresses, something happens. What's that? We make offenses. When you first begin, you haven't made any offenses. And do it for a while. There's some offenses. Yeah? And then there's anarthas that arise from offenses. So that's a damned if you do and damned if you don't situation. But then you have to do properly. You do cultivating carefully, avoiding offenses. And, you know, minimizing and familiarity and all those things. But that's, you know, that's the price we have to pay for our long involvement in the material energy. But naturally so, because when one is in the pure state, one is very careful. The process is not less powerful, just the anarthas that have arisen are blocking the tivra bhakti. So we have to, like the bright rays of devotion, we have to move the cloud. We have to cultivate very, very carefully with great sincerity, great effort to become pure. Nice challenge. Anything? Okay. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.